Are you thankful for his faithfulness tonight? Amen. Let's give a hand clap of praise to the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, Jesus. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord Jesus. You're so good. If you would stand with me for the reading of the word, turn to Acts chapter 20. Amen. It's good to see everyone in the house tonight. Only 16 days left shopping. And then the presents will abound like manna from heaven. I'm excited. No one else is really excited. Slim's Christmas this year, I suppose. I apologize. Amen. Go get yourself some Legos. Small sets are only $5, so amen. I already got one. We do an Advent calendar in our home. I grew up with Advent calendars. It was something my grandmother always sent overseas, and I loved them as a kid. And so we've started doing them. We don't really have anything that we open because we tried that one year. I took a Star Wars Advent calendar that I got on clearance in February. And then I took the box that had all the little holes and made my own out of it. Well, they're only like this small. So like, you know, a package of M&Ms doesn't really fit unless it's a small pack. So we changed it. We still do Advent calendar. Every day we each get a gift. Well, the alternate days. And unfortunately, in a couple years, that's going to be split into thirds, and we'll have to give Josiah gifts, so I won't get as many. But, amen, I did already get a Lego for Christmas. Thank the Lord. Little Star Wars. Yeah, there you go. Star Wars. All right, amen. Sounds exciting. Acts 20, verse 35. I have wasted officially a minute and 13 seconds on that. But anyways, Acts 20, 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And tonight I'm just going to speak on the topic, the anatomy of a gift. The anatomy of a gift. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Anatomy is a science that studies the structure of the body. There are different systems like the skeletal system or the muscular system or the endocrine system or the cardiovascular system. And you can study each one of these components of the body and take a whole class or take a whole session on these different components. And in that course of studying the anatomy, you begin to better understand the body as a whole, as you No, and all the nurses and doctors and all those who have taken anatomy and physiology and all those classes say amen, and I don't wish to ever go back to those classes because I know that, well, I've heard they're hard. I've never taken one. But so that's anatomy. It is the Christmas season, and gifts abound wherever you look. There are wrapped packages at the mall and in retail stores. There will soon be wrapped gifts under your Christmas tree if they're not there already. Some gifts are big, some are small. And there are many aspects or components that go into the act of giving a gift. And so that's what we want to look at tonight, just as I dissected a starfish and an earthworm many years ago in biology class. Tonight we are going to dissect the concept of a gift, look at its anatomy, so to speak. We're going to check out what Scripture has to say about gifts, and at the end of looking at the anatomy of a gift, we'll know what the proper stance about gift-giving a Christian should have. So let's get started. The first component of a gift is the motive behind that gift. Why are you giving the gift? At the very heart of a gift, the very core of gift-giving is the motive behind the giving. And so let's look at some possible motives of why people give gifts. One reason to give gifts is to earn favor, also known as a bribe. There are bribes out there, and they are given to get into a favorable position with an individual. Some countries, it's just mandatory. It's part of the culture that you bribe them to get past the checkpoints or whatever. We've heard missionaries tell stories like that, and it's not necessary. In the U.S., it'd be a bribe and horrible and wrong, but in their culture, that's what just happens. But bribes, they can be a motive for gifts. Proverbs 19:6, many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. And this word gift here translates more toward the bribe end of things. Everyone's, yeah, you're my friend. I'll take Legos. Come on now. You know, bribes do work and can be destructive, though. And so when setting up the law in the children of Israel, instructions were given to the leaders regarding bribes in Deuteronomy 16:9. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons. You won't be partial to people. Neither take a gift. Again, gift here interpreted as bribe. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. Not all gifts are given with a good motive. Some have an ulterior motive. So you have to look at it and ask yourself, why am I giving this gift? Am I trying to bribe something or trying to earn favor? Another motive behind giving a gift is because you are required to do so. It's Christmas. I have to buy a gift. Hopefully that's not what boat you're in. But 1 Chronicles 18:5-6, and when the Syrians of Damascus came to help Hadarezer, king of Zobah, David slew of the Syrians 22,000 men. Then David put garrisons in Syria, Damascus, and the Syrians became David's servants, and they brought gifts. Thus the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. It wasn't like the Syrians were like, yay, you killed 22,000 of us. And now we're your servants. Here's a Starbucks gift card. We're so excited. Go get some coffee on us. Know how we work and build your roads and build your houses. No, these gifts are known as tribute. When a nation conquers another nation, if you want to live and be still a nation as a conquered people, you will pay us. You will bring your resources. If you have abundance of forests, you will give us a tax, if you will, of your trees. You will bring supply food and of your harvest and so that you will live. Else we'll just wipe you off the earth. You know, and so it's a forced gift, not really a gift. How joyful is that? Yay, I get to give you a gift. Else you'll kill me. Yet many folks give out of requirement. I have to give this to them or they're going to be upset. If I don't give them this kind of gift, this monetary value of gift, if I do something simple, they will be upset. And so there's almost a requirement of type of gift you get or giving at all. Another motive for gift giving is recognition. The classic story in Acts 5 of Ananias and Sapphira comes to mind. I won't read it for the sake of time, but here's two folks that were part of the early church, and in that time, the folks were selling their houses and lands and goods and giving the funds to the church so that everything was in common so they could further the kingdom and their goals, etc. And so Ananias and Sapphira wanted to be seen as givers and an important part of the church. And so story goes, they sold some stuff but only gave half of their profit, though they told folks that it was everything. Again, you can read the story to see the strong rebuke that they received. But the fact is that they wanted recognition for their gift. They wanted to be known like, oh my goodness, you gave all this money. That's awesome. There's an element of pride when that is your motive. When you want people to know who gave the big present. Who brought that big present? Who gave that present? Again, scripture speaks against this motive. Matthew 6:3-4. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. I think back to this last spring. Sister Lynette Jewett from Guatemala came and presented the need for the mission work there and for the orphanage that they were finishing off. And there was a need for $25,000 to finish their all-purpose room. And so that Sunday night, we got up, and during a time of taking pledges, we had about 12,000 pledged, and we were just excited and rejoicing. Even though we didn't meet the amount, it was just still 12,000 in just a matter of minutes. And after service, unbeknownst to anyone, one person comes up and says, hey, what's the difference? It's like 13,000. They're like, all right, here, boom, writes a check and handed it. No one knows who that was. And that's the cool thing. Is that the purpose was not to say, hey, I'll finish it off, 13,000. Everyone probably would have, you know, we've had some people running the aisles and hanging from the chandelier, but what would have been the motive for that? But thank God we have a church that there's funds, there's resources, there are gifts that are given all the time that no one has a clue about. Needs that are met, that are, and I'm thankful that we have a solid church like that, that it doesn't matter who is getting the credit. But it's just like, I just want to give. I just want to meet the need. And that's what we should be. Unfortunately, though, lots of folks aren't like that. They want the credit, the recognition of a gift that large, and so have a poor motive with their gift giving. Amen. Let's throw a funny motive in that probably has only happened in my family. Growing up, one of us kids or my mom would receive a gift, and it would be labeled something like from Santa and would fool no one because we all knew my dad's handwriting. But the gift was absolutely nothing that anyone would like. Like, it would be a book that, like, as a, you know, teenager, like, why am I getting this book on history, you know? Or it'd be some sort of snack that no one liked except my dad. And so it was a way for him to get a gift. By giving a gift that person won't go, I'm like, well, you might as well take it, Dad. He's like, well, okay. It's like, why did you give that gift? Well, I kind of wanted it. Just buy it for yourself. No, I wanted to give it his gift. Anyways, I don't know if that's bad or good, but it was funny. So you can give gifts because you want them. If you get the right people, find the right people. So anyone who does not like Legos, let me know. I will get you a lot of Legos. Amen. But moving on. A positive motive for giving a gift is to secure peace. To call a truce, to bury the hatchet, so to speak. Proverbs 25:21, if thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Now, it's not that, as Bishop has taught us, that they're going to pour fire on the enemy's head, and he's going to be just, you know, obliterated. No, it's that you are warming him up to you by pulling coals on your head. That's the significance there, that we are communicating something that words may not be able to do. We'll warm them up to us. I mean, how can you continue to wage war or be in conflict with someone who is being nice to you? Well, that's right. You got me a Lego. Man, I can't be mad at you. It's awful hard to do that. And so a gift can be, the motive can be, you know what? Hey, you know, let's put differences aside, you know, with a nice card and handwritten note and saying, you know, that can be a great motive. The last reason for giving a gift that we'll talk about tonight really has no motive. It's the act of simply giving with no strings attached. No reasons, just out of a love for someone or out of a desire to bless someone or to surprise them. That's the purest motive in gift giving and how really all gifts should be given without motive. You're my friend. You're my family. I just want to bless you. I see you're in need. I just want to meet that need. I want to give. I see a need in ministry and church, and I just want to give. There's no motive here. Amen. In our anatomy lesson tonight, we first went straight to the core of the gift, the motive behind it. Now let's backtrack all the way out and look at the packaging, examine the packaging. There are many different ways to package a gift. You can wrap it up. You can put it in a gift bag. You can put it in a gift box with some tissue paper over it, or not package it at all. Save the money that you would spend on a package and apply it, that savings, to the gift, so you get a more expensive. Give them in a Woodman's bag, and no gift. I know some folks who do that, and hey, I'm blessed because of it, because we got a more expensive gift. But you can wrap it in many ways. If you have a group of gifts, you can wrap all the wrapping. You can match all the wrapping paper of your gifts. Our upstairs tree, it's a fake tree that we've had for years, is blue and white or blue-silver tones. Well, right now it's just lights. We haven't gotten past getting the lights on. New parents, don't judge us. But you can make that kind of tree even more beautiful, go over the top, which we did by buying all blue and silver wrapping paper. And so everything about the tree, think Sister Brown and her gold ones. Yeah, that's us with blue and silver. And it's just like, boom, blue and silver. Amazingness. No, like, funky reindeer, like, wrapping paper. No, it's boom, classy, like, amazingness. Of course, it might be this year that we'll just have a bunch of Woodman bags underneath the tree with just the lights on the tree. But, hey, we'll see. But why is the packaging important? Why is it important? Anybody?
What's that? It's intriguing. Yeah. Anybody else like, this is involvement here tonight. It hides the gift, okay? Makes it pretty, makes it more desirable. That's a natural tendency. It's a natural tendency to see, like, hey, big gift, really pretty bow, like, you want to open it. Don't try that at the mall because all those gifts probably don't have anything in them. But that's the natural tendency, is to say, whoa. You know, you have those gift exchanges, white elephant gift exchanges at Christmas party, and it's like, of course, the psychology starts, and you, if you've ever been fooled, it's like, okay, the biggest gift is probably not the best gift. But that is the natural tendency to be like, whoa, that's the concept behind the game show, Let's Make a Deal. Would you like this envelope with some cash in it, or would you like that huge honking box on stage? And it's like, oh, my goodness, huge honking box, huge honking box. And then it's like, you have just won a lifetime supply of dirty diapers. Yay. And you gave up the $5,000 that was in the small envelope. But it's just like, bigger is better. Packaging. It's important. What they see on the outside. The reality is, when giving a gift, what the actual gift is should be the first priority. And the packaging secondary. Because you can dress it all fancy and it'd be a junky gift. White elephant gift receivers say amen to that. I've gotten that. Been on the short end, like, this is the perfect gift, and it wasn't. It was a, you know, car, like, rearview mirror. Like, thank you. That's awesome. But that was the goal of the whole. It's a big joke. But Matthew 23, 25 through 26, we see this principle found in Scripture for our spiritual lives. Jesus says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. We can look as good as we want on the outside, but if the inside is rotten, the clean outside doesn't matter at all. And just the same, the gift is important. Packaging is also important, Scripture tells us. But the reality, the first priority should be, what's the actual gift? Amen. Sorry if I ruined all of those who were planning big packages with small presents, just $5 Legos. I will still take them. Amen. But finally, as we look at the anatomy of a gift, we examine the actual gift. What is the value? What is the quality of the gift? Is it something the recipient would actually like? Does it hold value to them? If you get someone like me a Starbucks gift card, I will be appreciative and thankful for the nice gesture, but it has no value to me. I don't drink coffee. My wife will love you. She will get the gift card. I will pass it on to her, but it holds no value. Now give me a Target gift card. Buy some Star Wars stuff. Buy some Legos. Buy some snacks that I like. Buy a cool Christmas tie. I find value in that. Again, it's the value of the gift. Buying your wife a new set of dish towels for Valentine's Day, not so valuable at that time. Just, you know, we're a couple months away, gents. I know it's disappointing, but, you know, maybe save those for a Christmas gift when she asks for them. Says, hey, we need some new dish towels, honey. And I'm like, yes, I know what to get her. She's so hard to buy for, but I know what she wants now. Does the gift hold value is a question we have to ask ourselves. Some folks mistakenly think that quantity is more important than quality. If I give 20 gifts, it's more important than just one gift. But the phrase that is common in our society, it's the thought that counts, really is so true. A simple gift with value can make such an impact over a gaggle of gifts that mean nothing. Fiona has a little craft room, craft little corner in the downstairs area. And when we have Shane and Vaughn and the kids over, the kids go downstairs while we're chatting upstairs. And they like to do artwork and play with her crafts. She has a huge thing of buttons. And so they put buttons and glitter everywhere. And it's like, well, thank you, Jesus. I got to clean it up. No, but it's great for them. We're glad that they can enjoy that. And so we got home from Mississippi getting Josiah, and a couple days after that, they brought dinner over, and blessed us with that. And sure enough, Jason Jaden went downstairs, did some artwork. And at the end of the night, one of them was a simple piece of paper. Had two hearts cut out in it with some bling on it. And then this tiny little heart cut out in the middle. And at the bottom, it was written, "Josiah Alec Demos has come." Exactly. Something so simple, but it was just like, oh, and like, you know, the father would be like, before him, like, eh, you know, but it holds value, something, and it's now displayed with all our other artwork that kids have given us, and that's how God views it as well. Luke 21, 1 through 4, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, "Of a truth I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in into the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." The widow couldn't give a ton like the wealthy could, but she gave what she could. And there was great value and quality in her giving. The rich men, yeah, they blew her out of the water probably in her lifetime, probably in that one sitting, probably gave. But they could have given so much more, and it wasn't a sacrifice. It was like, sure, I'll give. And so the quality is so important, more than just the actual monetary value in this case. So church, this is not a lesson on the proper etiquette of giving a Christmas gift so that you can get it right this year. No, this is there is a clear message in Scripture that each one of us should give of ourselves and not be focused simply on our lives and what we need. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 2, this has been read many times recently. "This know also that in the last day perilous times shall come." What does verse 2 say? "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." I find it interesting that the very first indicator of perilous times, and the one listed before all the other ones, because it goes on for a couple scriptures, is that people will be selfish. Could it be that loving your own self leads to so much more, that it's just the start, the selfishness, and wanting just things for yourself? As Christians, though, we are exhorted to do the opposite. 1 Corinthians 10:24, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth." We should want the best for everyone else. We should be looking to help others. Elsewhere it says in Philippians 2, 3 through 4, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And also in 1 John 3:17, "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" If you're not a giver, and yet you have the capacity to be, the resources to be, how can you say the love of God dwells inside of you? Phil's version of, standard version of that scripture. If we have the capacity to give, we should give. When it comes to looking out for someone else's interest, first I think of Abraham and Lot, uncle and nephew. They decided it was best to go their separate ways. Flocks were getting large, and there's conflict among their servants and workers. And so Genesis 13, 8 through 9, Abram says unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee. Let's just settle this, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we're brethren, we're family. Is not the whole land before this? We got plenty of space. We don't need to be in each other's business anymore. Let's separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." I'm going to give you the option of what land area you want to take. And we know the story, Lot took the best land, and Abram goes into the mountains and still thrives and everything. But he was looking out and said, you know what? Abram could have claimed, "I'm the uncle. I have seniority here. And so I'm going to choose what I think, and you take the leftovers." But no, Abraham was like, you know what? You decide. I'll let you make the choice. I'm cool with whatever. Whatever you don't choose, I'll do the other way. And as Christians, we should be giving. Acts 20, verse 35, "I have showed you all things." This is our opening scripture, "how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I've always looked at that, scripture as you will get blessed if you give, or the feeling you get from giving is more of a blessing than receiving something. I believe all that, but I recently saw it in another light. The simple fact that if you are in the giver role, the giving role, you are more blessed. Why? It means you can actually give, meaning you have the blessings to give someone else. Those who are receiving may not have that blessing already. So you are already blessed. What a privilege it is to have the capacity to give to others. And so we should be givers, church. We should be givers. And moving on, James 2, 15, 16 says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not these things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? What should I be giving, Pastor Phil? Anything that you have at your disposal. If you see someone in need and you say, I'm going to pray for you, I'm going to pray that God blesses you, and you walk away when you had some food in the cupboards that you could have said, you know what, why don't you come to my house? I'll pack you up a bag of groceries and send it home with you. Or, hey, you need something. We've had this. If you're on Facebook and you're a member here, I would encourage you. CGC Free Sources is a great, just a cool ministry. Just folks getting on there and saying, hey, I got this item. I don't need it anymore. Anybody want it? And it's all free giving and receiving. And it's been a cool thing to see. And that's what it should be. If we have the ability, we should give. We can be givers of, so what kind of gifts can we give? We can be givers of our finances. Well, once I'm established financially and I can afford to give to missionaries that come through, then I'll be a giver. Why not give now? Well, I don't have 50 bucks to give to the missionary. Well, do you have 50 cents? Well, that's not going to do anything. But you're missing out on the blessings of giving. If all you have is 50 cents, give that 50 cents. I've preached on this before, and Bishop actually stirred us after the fall after we got married, talking about being a steward of our finances, and he talked about how Sister Grant and him, when they started giving, they just gave like 25 cents to each ministry. And you know what? I was like, Fiona, we can do that. How much did we start? 50 cents a ministry. Like, well, how's that going to help the youth? That can't even buy like, you know, one slice of pizza. True. That's true. But you know what? God has blessed that faithfulness. That 50 cents, it could buy like, I don't know, two Twizzlers or something. And you know, one kid would be happy maybe for like, you know, 5 minutes. But still, it's a blessing. But you think about it. If every single one of us gave 50 cents, then it's like, okay, pizza party for the whole church. Come on. Woo, woo. We got, you know. And so that's where, like, you may not have the money to give thousands, to give 50s, to give 10s. But if you got 50 cents, give 50 cents. Be a giver, because it starts that heart of giving and that spirit of giving. And it's just like, you know what? God, you can trust me to give more. You can trust me with blessings, God, because you see my open hand. And Bishop has taught us that so much. We can be that conduit of his blessings. We can be givers of our skill. We have construction folks here at CGC that donated the time and effort to construct the new baptismal suite behind us here. It's not all completed from what I understand, but and then there's some that came who can paint, and they came in and painted. And don't worry, if you can't construct a wall, you're not going to be asked. You're not expected to. This is why I did not get the call. No one calls and says, Phil, can you come construct a wall? No, I didn't get the call. But there's other skills that I have that the construction folks don't have. And it's like, hey, Phil, can you do this? And so whatever skill that you have, you should give that skill away. Do you love kids? Are you good with kids? You want to teach them about Jesus? Get involved in Sunday school. Can you cook? You say, well, that's, you know what? I can't really do anything, but I can cook. Hey, we've got a ladies group that meets and prepares meals and freezes them. And then when folks get sick, they take those pre-made meals to them and bless families that need it in the time of crisis. If you can write some notes to folks. Maybe get on the CGC news team and say, hey, I want to be a writer. I don't want to talk to people, but I'll write a whole lot. Hey, Get that and get that skill and give it away. Get, we all have skills or abilities or resources. Do you like to host events and you have room at your house? Hey, talk to one of our ministry leaders. Get an event scheduled at your house or a Bible study scheduled there. We all have skills and we should give out of that capacity. Find a way to give that away. We can be givers of our time. Probably one of the most precious commodities in this busy society of our time. And that is our time. We can give it to someone else. Visit the sick. Hi, Sister Martha. I think she's still on. Is she still on? Hi, Martha. Amen. She's back there on FaceTime. Man, go visit Martha. She's stuck in the hospital for two weeks. And man, all her crazy posts, she needs some visits. Love you, Martha. We're coming tomorrow. Visit someone who's sick. Go see someone. Spend time with someone at lunch. Take them to lunch. Invest in a young person with your time. That time is invaluable. I saw it as a youth pastor. People are like, what's the secret to youth ministry? It's just time. Man, we had some weird kids, and they're all young adults now, so. Like, weird. Star Wars. Oh, he's not. Yeah. Like, guys who brought knives to, like, you know, the Sears Tower when I told them not to. Like, weird. And it's like, why are they in church? Why are they thriving? Why are they being involved? Why are they giving back? I didn't do anything except spend time with them. Some of the funnest times, putting up a stupid Christmas tree. Anyways. Side joke. Like, time. That's all it requires. Ministry is time. So you have time, spend some time with someone. Invest in them. Be with them. Amen. We can be givers of kindness or encouragement or love. Think about it. In the last days, people will be lovers of self. How valuable and precious would some preferring someone else be in this day and age? If you just show some love, some encouragement. Oh, go ahead. You go in line first. I'm cool. Well, you have like one item. That's all right. I'll wait. Be kind. Be encouraging. Be loving. Amen. We can give. There's multiple areas, and I haven't even covered probably a portion of those. You could find something to give, to bless someone with. Amen. The key to remember in our giving is to measure it back to the gift's anatomy. What is the true motive behind your giving? Are we volunteering at church so that we will be noticed? Or because we want to just give of ourselves no matter the recognition or the lack thereof? What's the packaging look like? Do you overpromise but underdeliver? Do you volunteer to do a list of 10 things? Yeah, I'll do that and that and that and that. Displaying the appearance of a life of giving and lots of giving, but then the substance of your gift is only one or two items off the list of 10 items. If you can't handle a 10 load, that's okay. Absolutely. If all you can give is a one, commit to that one. Everything you've got. Amen. So look back at your gift, at the packaging. Does your gift have value? Is it a quality gift? You might be a video gamer and passionate about it, but if your idea to, like, Carl and Cecily, we should start a video game, like, small group for the youth, that might not be what they need right now. They may just need a van driver to win a youth convention. Do you? No, they're good, so he doesn't need one. But maybe youth camp or a chaperone. They may just need you to be there as a presence to make sure that they're not, you know, committing shenanigans and jumping in the baptismal tank and stuff. You know, just a presence. Maybe it's not your great idea. Research on 100 ways to memorize scriptures effectively may not be needed by the Bible quizzing program. But you sitting down for an hour every Sunday afternoon, going through Bible verse cards with kids as they recite them to you, can have eternal value. So look at your gift and say, is it needed? Is it valuable to the kingdom of God, to others? We should measure our giving on its motive, its packaging, its value. Why? Because that dictates the final piece of the anatomy of a gift, which is the response or the blessing that you in turn receive from giving. I know we should have a pure motive with no expectations and just give, but the reality is we get a whole lot when we give. It is blessed in that context, blessed, more blessed to give than receive. I love to see the look on my wife's face when I get her that perfect gift at the perfect time that she was or wasn't expecting, that something she talked about in June and Christmas Day. She's like, I totally forgot about that. That's amazing. That's awesome. I can't wait in a couple years on Christmas morning to see that look on Josiah's eyes in anticipation of opening his presents. Now he's just going to be like, But as Christians, there's a heavenly response to our giving. When we have pure motives, we package it right. There's value. Proverbs 11:25, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. This is not talking politics. This is talking someone who's liberal with their giving, liberal with watering other people's yards and blessing other people. Man, you're going to be watered yourself. Psalms 112:9, he hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. There is blessings and honor when we give. Proverbs 22:9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. We all familiar with Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. There is such a blessing that comes when we give. Maybe the response is a hug and a thank you for all the time you spent with someone. Maybe it's they never come back, but it's just watching them years later. As now they're from a young person or a child, and you've been teaching Sunday school for 30-plus years, and look at them now. Look at them as I honor our Sunday school teachers who have been here for years and years and years. Folks who are kids who are in your 3-year-old class. Sister Lois was one that, you know, years later, that's got to be rewarding. I don't know. I haven't been there, but that's got to be rewarding that I had a small part. Well, they were just kind of like gaga-goo-goo, and no, there's importance. They start that understanding of Scripture very, very early on. And to see that reward maybe years later, they don't remember you from when they were 3 years old, but you can have that reward of watching them grow up. Amen. Maybe it's watching a young person who you helped in their Bible memorization become involved in ministry and helping now as a young adult. Maybe the response won't be known until eternity when we find out the direct result on someone's souls because of our giving. We give to adopt a missionary offering, which sponsors missionaries, national missionaries in a foreign field. We don't know the return on our investment. We never will, but someday we will find out. And someone's going to come up to us and going to have, I just believe that, like, because of your giving, I was saved. Because you pitched in and helped buy that tent or buy that vehicle for She's for Christ. Oh, well, I only gave 50 cents. Well, if you didn't give the 50 cents, we would have been 50 cents shy. But your giving, man, because of that giving, because of that vehicle, we were able to be saved and hear the gospel. Maybe it's a raise on the job. Maybe it's added benefits because of our giving. Because of our giving. Amen. How much should we give? As much as we want to be blessed, is the simple answer. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, but this I say, he who soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. There's that motive again. Why are you giving? Just because I love to give. I love to bless people. I love to bless the kingdom of God. I remember back, I always tithe, which 10% of your income, I always tithe on net income, which is after taxes, just because that's just, I don't know, I never was taught differently. And I loved how once, because that question came up, and I'm just like, well, I'll just do it because that's what I do and whatever. And remember Bishop was talking about it and how someone asked him that, and he's like, well, should I tithe on gross income or net income? Gross before taxes or after taxes? And Brother Grant's response is like, well, do you want gross blessings or do you want net blessings? And I'm like, you know, and I heard him say that over and over again. I'm like, just do net, not a problem. Finally, one time I heard him say that, I'm like, you know what, I want to get gross blessings. You know, I love these net blessings, but I'm ready for some gross blessings. And I switched it, and it's just, you know, it's just a change, you know, whatever. But that's really true. How much should I give? How much do you want to be blessed? How much should I give of my time? Well, how much do you want to invest in someone and see the return in someone's life? How much should I give to those in need? Well, how much do you want to be blessed in turn? I don't know about you, but I want gross blessings in my life. Amen. Amen. The musicians would come and you would stand with me. One last scripture. Amen. Romans 12, verse 6 through 8 says, having then gifts differing, let's talk about the gifts that we have. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Simplicity means what the word means. There's no ulterior motives. There's not this big grand scheme of things like if I do this and this, then God will do this. No, it's just simply giving. Give with simplicity. Now, we're in a giving season, and we get all excited, and we go shop, and we give our gifts, but this needs to be more than just a one time a year that we think about this. The power of a spirit of giving is so vital to the Christian walk, to the church, to those in need, showing them love, and they feel that, like, you know what, they didn't have to do that. I remember, I've said this before, I remember one time I was in line, and a lady was buying a cake and some frosting and a box of cake mix and frosting and a couple other items. And got up in line and checker checked it out and she's like, ah, like $5 short. And she's like, well, I'll put this back or this back. And there was, I don't know, probably eight items and she's going to put some things back. And, you know, there was no intention, no motive. It was just like, here, let me buy that for you. It was like $5. And the power of just God that flooded that room, that grocery store, she began to tear up and said, this was for my girl's birthday party. I can't afford anything else. I'm just going to buy her cake and some frosting and some candles. And very, very simple. And thank you so much. And I'll never know the results of that. But I'm praying someday, somehow, she's going to look back to that day and say, I need to find a place where I feel the same way I felt that day. Why? Just because it was giving. And it's not to reflect, but to say there's such a joy in giving. There's such a joy in giving. When it's secret giving, it's even more joyful. To like, they have no clue who just blessed them. I love that. I remember a sister when we were over youth pastors, they were like, tell me a family in the youth group. Someone in our church asked me, used to do this, I don't know if they still do, I want to buy them Christmas. Tell me someone in your family, the young people whose family's kind of struggling. And I let them know, and I don't know what she bought them, but she just bought a spread for that family. And it was all in secret, and we worked and gave it to them, and it's like, what a powerful feeling. It is more blessed to give than receive. And we should have that spirit of giving. And it's simple. A simplicity just out of your heart to give. Amen. As they begin to sing, just want you to reflect on your gift giving. Your resource giving. Your talent giving. Your skill giving. Are you giving? Well, I give to, you know, Salvation Army. Praise God. Keep doing that. Support the bell ringers. But you can... Can you do more? Can you do more than just the 50 cents that you're giving? Maybe God is calling you to give more financially or more time. Let's analyze the quality of our giving, the packaging. Are we saying we're doing all these things when really we're not? Amen. Let's find a place to pray. Amen. And look at our gift giving tonight. Hallelujah. We want to be givers, Jesus. We give of ourselves, Lord Jesus, our time, our energy, Lord Jesus.